through Christ my Savior.
Amen.
To the world and self and sin.
Amen.
To the death-born life of Jesus.
Amen.
I am sweetly entering in.
Thank you. To your speaking,
amen.
For your revelation,
amen.
That you reveal your still self to us,
amen.
Oh Lord Jesus,
amen.
Thank you that we want to have your mind in us,
amen.
Lord, to open, to take away all the veils,
amen.
To open heaven to us,
amen.
So how we can experience you,
amen.
And how we can enjoy you,
amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, amen, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, saints, amen. Okay, maybe I need to also introduce myself a little bit. My name is David Chang, and this is my second time to Honolulu.
Amen.
I came 2 years ago, right? I think it's the winter time. Well, there's a winter allowed here. And we had a conference together, and this is my second time here. And first of all, I am from Taiwan, Taipei, and well, that's all. Praise the Lord. Amen. I really enjoy being here with you. This time, Brother Peter told us that there will be a conference in July. So I came directly from the summer training in Anaheim. But because the training there ends on the 6th of July. Yeah. But the conference here starts yesterday. So I have to come earlier, and so I found out I will be here 4 days, you know, prior to the beginning of the conference. So Brother Peter asked me to maybe we can have some prophetic training for the church in Honolulu. And I think, wow, what am I going to do? But anyways, whatever from the Lord, we say amen. So I came, and I thought there will be 4 meetings for the training, but eventually it came out to be 8 meetings. So we have spent 4 days already before the conference ever started. We have a, I don't know if we can call that a training. Anyway, we have a training, right? For the saints. So in the morning, we have meetings for the English-speaking saints. And in the evenings, we have meetings for the Chinese-speaking saints. And the topic, I was thinking about the topic. And then I fellowship with Brother Peter, and they found out that the church here did not and will not enter into the interval messages, training messages. And at that time, we in the church in the churches in Taiwan were enjoying these messages from interval. The title was The Development of the Kingdom in the Christian life and the church life. And that was tremendous messages. That was, wow, such a supply and help. So we really enjoyed it. So can I fellowship with Brother Peter? So maybe since the saints may not enter into these messages, maybe we can combine some of the messages and pick up some well, not necessarily the most crucial points, but some points that will help us to apply for our church life. So that's how I thought I did. We picked up some points from those 8 messages, and we make up 4 outlines to conduct a training here. So I think quite a few of you were here in the training meetings, right? Let me see the show of hands. Those who were in the trainings, please raise your hand. Okay. Those who were in the trainings, okay, we need to let it go. 有参加训练的弟兄姊妹们举个手啊。 So this is fast. Okay, thank you. It's not even a half. So and actually when we enter into it, I realized that the conference now we are having this conference, the general subject is experience Christ. And found that actually it has much to do with really related to the messages from the springtime training.
Yes.
So I think it would be good if we do a little bit review from the past 4 days training a little bit, and then we would know why do we enter into now this topic of experience of Christ, the experience of Christ. Actually, in this subject, we are entering into the book of Philippians. One of Paul's epistles. Okay, so I have put all the verses here in the screen. So on the screen, maybe we take maybe 10 to 15 minutes, have a little bit review. Mainly, we will just look from in the Gospel of Matthew. Only the Gospel of Matthew. All these verses regarding the kingdom to see, okay, what it is, okay? Then we'll continue. Okay, praise the Lord. First of all, we have the verse in Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. Okay? So we need to pay attention to the word kingdom. Okay, because that topic was the kingdom. And here it says that, now in those days John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent. For what?
Kingdom.
For the kingdom of the heavens has drawn near.
Amen.
So this shows us, in the beginning of the gospel preaching, the kingdom was preached.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, when God wanted to preach the gospel on earth, it was clear in the beginning it was the gospel of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why is that? Well, we'll find out. But now let us have the concept or the impression that the gospel in the beginning was clearly, said here, it was because the kingdom of heavens has drawn near.
Amen.
Okay, then we come to chapter 6. That's when the Lord came to the earth, and he had disciples with him. And one day the disciples asked the Lord to teach them how to pray. And this is what the Lord said. The Lord said, so you then pray in this way. Our Father, who is in the heavens, your name be sanctified.
Amen.
Your kingdom come.
Amen.
Your will be done as in heaven, so also on earth.
Amen.
You see, when we want people to teach us how to pray, what do you think about? I mean, in your mind, maybe how to think, how to pray for, have a tranquil, peaceful life, okay? Or maybe have something that I can accomplish, something I want but I do not have, right? Maybe you have a better heart and you pray for others, right? For the health or whatever for others. But here, this is how the Lord taught them to pray.
Amen.
He said, you then pray this way. Our Father who is in the heavens, your name be sanctified, and your kingdom come.
Amen.
You see, the kingdom is mentioned again. So when John the Baptist came out to preach the gospel in the very beginning of the four gospels, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heavens has drawn near the kingdom. And now when the Lord was on the earth, when he taught the disciples to pray, he said, you should pray, your kingdom come.
Amen.
And at least in these two verses, we can see that in God's heart, there is something there occupies a very important position there. He wants to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And he taught the disciples to pray, your kingdom come.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we still don't know what his kingdom is. But at this moment, we should understand that, wow, the kingdom is not a small thing. It is in God's heart, right? Okay, let's go on. Then we come to chapter 12. Maybe we will ask why, okay, the Lord, in the Gospel of Matthew, he was presented as the King Savior. He is the King. But can you imagine that on earth, he was a king without a kingdom? What kind of king would that be, a king without a kingdom? Why did he teach his disciples to pray, your kingdom come? That means that his kingdom was not there yet.
Right.
Or maybe not completely there, because actually when the Lord came, he himself was the kingdom of God.
Amen.
One time he told those Pharisees, he said, don't say the kingdom is here, kingdom is there. Behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. By saying that, actually, he was referring to himself as the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Well, the kingdom has something to do with life. You want to enter into the kingdom of animal, you need to have the animal's life. A plant can never enter into the kingdom of animals. Right? And a monkey can never enter into the kingdom of man. Right? Because it does have a life of man. But on earth, before the Lord was born, before Christ was incarnated, where is the kingdom of God? Where is the realm of the divine life? Where can you see on earth the life of God? Nowhere. Nowhere. On the earth, after Satan was corrupted by Satan, the whole world was corrupted. And there were three parts in the world. One is in the air. Who is in the air? The principalities, the evil power, right?
Yes.
And then water. Who is in the water?
The ghosts.
The ghosts. Demons.
Yes.
Are in the water. Okay, then on earth. Who is on earth? The fallen, corrupted humanity, human beings. So where is God's life? Nowhere. Nowhere. But God wants to develop his kingdom.
Amen.
So he himself incarnated as Jesus, and he was born on earth. And in him was life.
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
And the Word became flesh. And in him was life.
Amen.
Zoe life, the divine life. So when Jesus came to the earth, he was the only one where you can find divine life. So He Himself actually is the realm of the divine life. He Himself is actually the kingdom of God.
Amen.
But he was teaching His disciples the prayer that your kingdom come. So on the one hand, He as the kingdom of God was on the earth. But on the other hand, when He said you need to pray your kingdom come, that what He meant is, it's not only me. God's kingdom is yet to come.
Right.
So pray that.
Amen.
Then later on we will find out what it was. Then when we go to chapter 12, you can see that right before the world came, God's kingdom was not on the earth. But there was another kingdom which was already on earth. Right, this it says. You know? And the Lord said, and if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will His kingdom stand? Here in verse 26, His kingdom. Whose kingdom is this?
Satan.
That's right, referred to Satan. So that means that on earth there was already Satan's kingdom. Then, verse 28, the Lord continued to say, but if I, by the Spirit of God, cast out the demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. You see, there are two kingdoms here.
Yes.
And you can see the war. A war is raging between these two kingdoms.
Okay.
His kingdom, which is the kingdom of Satan, and the kingdom of God. And now, Christ came as the kingdom of God. He came to develop the kingdom of God by casting out demons through what? By the Spirit of God. So that's why we need to pray, because there is a war raging between these two kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to choose sides. We need to exercise our will to be one with God's will and pray that your will be done and your kingdom come.
Amen.
So now here we see that there were two kingdoms and there was a war going on. Okay? And then how can we participate? Or how did the Lord develop the kingdom of God? Then we come to chapter 13.
Mm-hmm.
Here in verse 24, the Lord said, another parable He said before them, saying, the kingdom of the heavens has become like a man sowing good seed in his field. So the Lord came. On the one hand, He was there casting out demons by His Spirit. But in actuality, how is He going to recover His kingdom? I think the kingdom is not just the territory, the land on earth. Actually, the kingdom is His created man. God created man in His image, right, and in his likeness. So in the very beginning, the man as the vessel of God should be the realm of God's kingdom, should be the realm for God's life to come in. But Satan came in. And he imparted his poison into these vessels and make this vessel, who should be the realm of the kingdom of God, become the kingdom of Satan. So now the Lord came back to the earth and He wanted to recover His kingdom. He wants to develop His kingdom. By what way? By sowing Himself as the light of seed into His children ones, into
yes.
us.
Amen.
Now we will become the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So we will become, by receiving the Lord, by receiving this divine life inside of us, we also will become the realm of the kingdom of God. This is the way the Lord developed His kingdom. But how is He going to do this? How can He sow Himself as seed into us? Right? If He's just physically live on the earth as the man Jesus, how can He enter into us? This is the question asked by Nicodemus.
Yeah.
Right? How can I be regenerated, reborn? For this case, the Son of Man had to be lifted up like the bronze serpent. He has to go through the process, which is death and resurrection. That's continuous to see. Okay. Then we come to chapter 16. There the Lord, when He was on earth, actually He was doing many things, right? He walked around the place of Judea and the other places, and he actually has been to Jerusalem several times already. Even when he was born, he was carried to Jerusalem. And when he was 12 years old, he went with his parents to Jerusalem again. And then when he came to, after 30 years old, he also had been to Jerusalem. But his time was not yet. He was on earth and doing everything according to God's schedule. And the time will come for him to fulfill God's will. And the time came. So he was about to go to the city of Jerusalem for the last time to fulfill God's will according to God's schedule. So he took the disciples far away to Caesarea Philippi, and he needs to make sure that everybody understands who he is and what he is doing and how he is doing it, and then what should they do? Maybe that's four questions in chapter 16. So first of all, he needs to make sure everybody knows that who he was, right? So he asked them, who do you think I am? And Peter got the revelation, said, you are Christ, you are the Son of the living God. And upon this revelation, Jesus said, here, verse 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. This actually is the first time the church is mentioned in the entire New Testament. And actually, in the four Gospels, the word church only appeared twice. Well, in the two places. And both are in the Gospel of Matthew. You cannot find it, no, not in the Gospel of Luke, not Gospel of Mark, or Gospel of John, only here in the Gospel of Matthew. And this was the first time. Just imagine, I told the saints, just imagine that we were the disciples, and we were following the Lord Jesus, and he was doing many things, you know, helping the weak, and heal the sick, and cast out demons, everything. But one day, all of a sudden, he said, I will build my church. And that was the first time the disciples heard the word from the word church, ecclesia, from his mouth. Do you think they understand what it is? Oh, what is the ecclesia? What you want to build your ecclesia? What does that mean? But let's read on. This ecclesia, we know this is church, the called out saints, right? But if we continue to read verse 19, you can see that I will give to you the keys of what? The kingdom of heaven. Again, the kingdom is mentioned. Then we can realize that in the beginning, God wants to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And he told the disciples to pray that your kingdom come. And then he showed them that there were two kingdoms. And he wants to develop the kingdom of God. So he is testing out the demons by his spirit. And by way of showing himself as the life of seed of life into man to develop his kingdom. And now he said, I will build my church. And this church actually, if we see these two verses, is for the coming of the kingdom. So on the one hand, when the Lord preached the gospel and when we received the Lord, we became members of the church, right? And we can say that we became the church. But as the church, so we can say that the kingdom produces church. Because kingdom is Christ himself. The kingdom is the divine life. And Christ, by sowing himself as the divine life, the seed of life into us, we become church. So the kingdom, the divine life, produces the church. But when the church came into being, the Lord said, I want to give the key to the heavens, I mean to the kingdoms of heavens to you. And actually by saying this, he wanted the church to bring in the kingdom. So sometimes he says, you find it kind of a little bit difficult to understand, you know, the kingdom produces the church and the church brings in the kingdom. But here we can see the sequence actually is this in the Gospels. Their kingdom produces the church. But in the church life, we need to bring in the kingdom. So there is something deeper, more profound here. It also means that by being the church, it is not necessary we are living the kingdom life. Okay, let's continue. And then, here, verse 21, right after that verse, he said, from that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day, be raised. It is the first time the Lord revealed that he will be killed, mm-hmm. crucified, and he will be resurrected. Mm-hmm. And he said, from that time, from what time? From the time he revealed that I will build my church. And this church is the kingdom. After he revealed this to the disciples, he started to reveal that he will be killed and he will resurrect. And this is, up to now, he is kind of answering three questions. One is who he is. He is Christ. This was answered by Peter. He was Christ. He was the Son of the living God. And the second is what he is doing on earth as the Son of the living God. And he told them, I will build my church. And now he is telling them how I am going to build it.
Yes.
By what way? It is by death and resurrection. Death and resurrection. Okay, then we may ask the first question. After the disciples heard this, they know that who he was, what he wants to do, and how he's going to do it. Then maybe they will ask, so what? So what? So what, Lord? So what? What do you want us to do? And here he said, then Jesus said to the disciples, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Because in between we know that something happened to Peter, right? When Peter heard that the Lord said, I will be killed. And all of his natural being actually was Satan coming out from him. He came to stop the Lord Jesus to be killed. He was stopping the Lord from going to the cross. And by doing that, actually, he was stopping the Lord from fulfilling God's will. So the Lord, no, it was not Peter, it was Satan in him. So he rebuked him and said, Satan, get behind me. And then he told him that not only I, for the development of the kingdom of God, not only I need to go through the death and resurrection, you also need to follow me, and you also need to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me and lose your soul life. Okay. And these things actually refer to here the church is interchangeable used with the word kingdom. Kingdom. Okay, let's skip a little bit because I took the verse out, but if you read chapter 6, verse 28, the last verse of chapter 16, the Lord was telling the disciples the kingdom will come. Those who among you, some of you will see the Son of Man comes in his kingdom, right? Before they die, they will see it. Right, and then in chapter 17, we saw that the Lord appeared, transfigured before their eyes, and this that actually was a miniature of the kingdom. The Son of Man comes in his kingdom in transfiguration. Okay, now we come to chapter 18, because here in chapter 18 we found the word church mentioned the second time in Matthew, and here we can say up to chapter 16, the Lord has reading all those these verses, we have seen a clear picture of the kingdom. It was in God's heart. He was preaching the gospel kingdom. He taught the disciples to pray, your kingdom come. He was there casting out demons to fight against the kingdom of Satan to recover his kingdom. By what? By sowing himself as the seed of life into man to spread and develop his kingdom. And when he was on the earth, he was building his church to bring in his kingdom. So he needs to be killed and resurrected. And also he needs the disciples to follow him, to deny themselves, their self, and take up their cross and follow him and lose their soul life. And this, up to now, is still the teaching part. But when it comes to chapter 18, the Lord was showing the church on earth. In chapter 16, it was the singular church, the universal church. The Lord said, I will build my church. You don't ask him, Lord, what church are you going to build? Or where are you going to build the church? In Los Angeles or in Honolulu? Peter is of Honolulu, right? But he was building his universal church. Yet, this church is not just hanging in the air. In chapter 18, we saw that. The church is on earth, and you can go to tell the church. Yes. And actually, those people on earth, they own the church. And here, in this chapter, we saw that how we should live on earth as the church and living a kingdom life. A kingdom life. And how we should deny ourselves and take up our cross and lose our soul life. Yes, maybe we should also, like Peter and Peter, those disciples in the beginning, they did lose their soul life, you know, regarding give up their career. Mm. Although it's not a great career, it's not an enterprise, it's a fish catching career, a net mending career. But they gave it up anyways. And John left his father, right? They left their parents, they left their family. Mm-hmm. And so they lost kind of their soul life, and they followed the Lord. But they still, okay, so when they come together, but they do not know about God's will. God's will is to have the kingdom. So now they were there in the chapter 18. The Lord continued to tell them, the Lord's heart is to, here, chapter 18, verse 11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. And so the Lord not only wants them to be saved, he also needs these disciples to coordinate with them. And, you know, when this losing, I mean, a denial of self and taking up of the cross, how do we experience this? In chapter 18, we can see that it is in the church life. And the Lord gave this example, like if a brother sinned against you, you need to go to him, and if he listen to you, hear you, then you will help him back, recover him, right? But if he rejected you, you need to wait another one to go with him and to do it again. But if he still rejected you, then you need to go to the church and go with the church together to him. And if he still did not listen to you, he still rejected, then you should count him as a Gentile and the tax collector, right? But we stop there. We may think that what does that mean to count him as a Gentile and tax collector? We may think that is to cast him out. Mm-hmm. Cast him out of the church. You are not our kind. And just excommunicate him. You know, this happened in the church history. But if we read on, see, we see this verse, okay? Verse 14. And 15 says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go reprove him between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. And, it's okay. Okay, we've cut that tone already. Okay, stop here. But actually, we may think that that's the end of the fellowship with this brother, right? But we need to continue to read the rest part of chapter 18. There, actually, the Lord was talking about we need to forgive him. We need to pray for him.
Right.
Exercise to release him. And then go back again and again to forgive him.
Yeah.
You know what? Peter understood. Peter got it.
Yep.
Peter got it. So he asked the Lord, Lord, how many times do I need to forgive my brother? Because in the Lord's word, he mentioned three times, right? You go to him by yourself the first time. The second time, take another brother with you. And the third time, go to tell the church and go with the church. And he didn't listen to you for three times. Then call him as tax collector and Gentile. And we may stop there. But Peter knew. Peter understood. He knew that the Lord didn't want us to stop there. He actually wanted us to go back again and again. So he asked the Lord, how many times? Is seven times enough? And the Lord, you mentioned three times. Okay, I'll add more, four more times. Seven times, is that enough? But the Lord said, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. So here we can see that God's heart here is not for us to push anyone out of the church life.
Amen.
He is for us to recover them again and again.
Amen.
Go to visit them again and again. Forgive them again and again until
Amen.
They come back.
Amen.
Until they come back. So, this actually is the kingdom life. And this is the practice of the kingdom life in the church life. That's how we ended our training. Right? Of course, we eventually went further to chapter 25 about the virgins and the servants, but we don't want to test that yet. Here, we can see that regarding the spreading of God's kingdom, we have Christ as the kingdom itself, and he sowed himself as the son of life, the seed of life into us to develop the kingdom. And now we need to follow him to live in the church life. And we need to practice the kingdom life in the church life, to pray together and to follow the Lord. But now I want to call your attention here in these two verses, because now we want to come to Philippians. Now we need to know this 2 and 3. And in the training, one brother asked also, he said, okay, now we kind of understand that in the church life, the Lord didn't ask us to do great things, that the five talented ones, to conduct a conference, to conduct a gospel campaign, or to get thousands, hundreds of people saved. He only asked these 2 or 3 coming together, pray together, and go to visit people, right? But we need to pay attention to, there is the qualification of these 2 or 3.
Yes.
Again, truly I say to you that if 2 of you are in harmony on earth concerning any matter for which they ask, it will be done for them from my Father who is in the heavens. You need to pay attention to this. That are in harmony. This 2 or 3, when you go to visit people, you need to be in harmony. Okay, then the second, in verse 20, maybe it's more important. He said, For where there are 2 or 3 gathered into my name, there am I in their midst. So these 2 or 3, they go out to conquer people. They need to be in harmony. And also, they need to be gathered into the Lord's name.
Amen.
That's the crucial point. What does it mean to be gathered into the Lord's name?
Amen.
The Lord's name actually refers to His person. Right? We need to be in His person.
Amen.
Otherwise, you may just take verse 8:19 and say, you know, if 2 of you are in harmony on earth concerning any matter. Wow. Lord, did you really mean that? Any matter? I can just ask another brother and say, hey brother, let's come in harmony. Let's pray for something great for you and for me. And if we are praying this in harmony, the Lord said, concerning any matter, it will be done for them from my Father who is in the heavens. Wow. But no, you don't skip verse 8, 20.
Yeah.
Verse 20 says, For where there are 2 or 3 gathered into my name. We need to be one, not in harmony with ourselves only. We need to be one with the Lord.
Amen.
We need to have His will.
Mm-hmm.
Then, no matter what we ask, because then we will be asking from the Lord.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Because there are so many Christians on earth. What if 2 nations, they are in war? Okay, and in this nation there are Christians, in that nation there are Christians. And the Christians all love their country. And they all want their country to win the war. And then, you know, two of them here in China, pray for China. And there are two of them from Japan, pray for Japan. And they were in harmony, absolutely in harmony for their own country. And then, what the Lord will do? What the Lord will do? So this is question. Did this remind us, you know, when Brother Watchman Nee, you know, Brother Watchman Nee, one time he was invited to the Keswick Convention.
Yes.
That was the most spiritual convention in the world at the time. At that time. And he was invited there in the year of 1938.
Correct.
July. We're in July now also. And he was invited there. Usually there will be a brother giving messages. But Brother Watchman Nee was asked to offer a prayer before the conference. And by that time, the war was raging between China and Japan. And in the conference, among the saints, there were Chinese believers and there were Japanese believers. And everybody knows that it was World War II. And the war was raging there between China and Japan. So what will Brother Watchman Nee pray? Well, he prayed in this way. Let me find his prayer here. How can I say this? 主掌权. The Lord has authority.
Amen.
The authority is in His hand. He is the Lord of everything. Nothing can touch His authority. Those who went out to damage China and Japan is the principality, is a spiritual principality. So we are not praying for Japan, we are not praying for China, but we are praying for the interests of your son in China and Japan. We don't blame anybody. They were just the instruments in the hands of the enemy of the Lord. Lord, we stand in your will. Lord, crush the kingdom of the darkness.
Amen.
Lord, whoever persecutes your church is persecuting you. That's his prayer. That's his prayer. And after the prayer, after the conference, very few people was talking about, you know, the subject of the message, but many saints there were discussing the prayer of Watchman Nee. Mm-hmm. So that prayer is not just in harmony, it is into God's name. He is praying there, even the war was raging, and he's in one of the northern countries, but he knows that he is praying for the interests of the Lord in both countries.
Amen.
So, okay, we need to be aware of this, then we can enter into now. We are ready to enter into the Philippines. So, if we want to be these two or three who can really go out and who can really take care of the kingdom of God, we need to know how to experience Christ. Okay, now let's go on. Now that we can open our line, okay? Let's read our outline now. The topic of this outline, message 2, is knowing and experiencing Christ as the pattern. Romans 1, if we would know Christ as the pattern, we should let the mind which was in Christ Jesus be in us. So when we pray, when we come together, when we want to live the kingdom life on earth, which has to do with His gospel, then we need to be gathered into the name of Jesus. So we need to know Him, and we need to experience Him. Okay? And here, actually we had message 1 yesterday already, and today we are entering into chapter 2 of Philippians. So now how about, before we enter into these points, let's read the verses from chapter 2 of Philippians. Now we have the verses also in here. Desiree, you can read together with me. If there is, therefore, any encouragement in Christ, if any fellowship
of the Spirit, if any tender-heartedness,
make my joy full, that you think the same thing, having the same love, joined in soul, thinking the one thing. Okay, now Paul was writing an epistle letter to the saints in the Philippi. And when he was writing this letter, he was in jail. He was in jail, in prison. But he received something from the church in Philippi. Some offering were brought to Paul. And Paul was so rejoicing. He was so encouraged. So he picked up a pen and he wrote this letter, epistle, to the saints in Philippi. And if you remember yesterday, in first one, he said, I may mention to you my petition, always with joy, thinking that you have been participating in the furtherance of the gospel from the first day up to now. So Paul, he was in prison for the sake of the gospel. He was the one who was fully with God. But he was there, suffered because of the gospel. But now, he saw that some saints, they want to participate in this gospel. And they were sending some material to help him. So Paul was so encouraged. So he was full of joy, although he was in prison. But he was full of joy, and he wrote this letter to them. And I want to remind you, yesterday, Brother Mark told us that when Paul wrote this epistle to them, he asked them to pray for him, right? To pray for him. He said, through your interceding, your praying, and the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, I will be saved, right? So actually, he was looking forward to their praying for them, for him. But what did he ask them to pray for him? He didn't ask them to pray that he would be released from the imprisonment. Right? He didn't pray that he would be released from this difficult environment. But he was praying that, he was asking that the saints, the believers in Philippi would pray that he can magnify Christ in such a difficult situation. Amen. And he said that this will become his salvation. So Paul, he knows that he wants to be one with Christ. He wants to magnify Christ, but in such a situation, he needs prayer for him. He needs prayer for him. So he was there asking them to pray. And when he was asking them, actually, he has joy inside. On the one hand, outwardly, he is in difficulty, imprisonment. But inwardly, he found that there were saints. They want to participate. They want to have a share in this furtherance of the gospel. So he was so rejoicing. So rejoicing. Yet, in chapter 2, we saw this. In chapter 2, verse 3, he said, make my joy full. That means that something is lacking there in the Philippians. Yeah, they loved the apostle. They were concerned for the apostle. They wanted to participate in the furtherance of the gospel. And they were, they want to have a share there. That's very good. That's wonderful. So Paul rejoiced. But there is something in them. Something in them that kind of caused some concern for the Apostle Paul. Here, of course, he was saying it in a positive way. He said, make my joy full. On the other hand, his joy was not full. Why? Why? He said, make my joy full, that you think the same thing, having the same love, joy in soul, thinking the one thing. And this may also indicate that this is what is lacking there among the Philippian saints.
Right.
which is maybe they're not thinking the same thing.
Right?
They are not totally having the same love. They are not joined in soul. And they are not thinking the one thing. What is the one thing? And only if when they do these things, they will make the apostles joyful. Okay, let's continue. Then verse 3, doing nothing by way of selfish ambition, nor by way of vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, considering one another more excellent than yourselves. Now regarding each his own virtues, but each the virtues of others also. This is what caused them not thinking the same thing, not have the same love, not thinking the one thing, which is this, we see here, the self-ambition. Another word for this is rivalry. When we have self-ambition, then we want to, you know, this rivalry is we are competing against one another and feel that I am better than you. So we have this rivalry. Who should be the head? Okay. You know, we don't have to be, it is not necessarily that we want to be elders or what. But we know in the church life we have many, many service groups, right? The saints in Philippi, actually, they love the Lord and they are serving pretty well. And they, you know, they want to participate in the fervency of the gospel. That means that they have the heart to serve the Lord. But when they serve the Lord, this may happen among them. Self-ambition. Rivalry. Then glory. And when we read this, actually just remind ourselves, right? In our service, maybe it's just a very, very small service, but there's rivalry in us. Why the brothers ask him to do the thing? Why not me? Why not me? You know, there's a conference and we need two brothers to come up here to lead the hymns, and the brothers go to these two brothers. They didn't come to me. Why not me? Are they better than I am? When I think this way, of course I think that I am better than they are. Right? If I feel that I am not better, they are better, then I would not, there would be no problem with me, right? But this rivalry is inside of us. Even in those very, very, very practical and small services. In our services with children, you know, love feasts, and it could be anything. And what is there in the church in Philippi actually is here now with us in our church life, right? And the Paul said, but in lowliness of mind, considering one another more excellent than yourselves. Not regarding each his own virtues, but each the virtues of others also. Then, how do we do that? How do we do that? Mm-hmm. Not easy. Yeah. It's just by myself. Exercise saying, Lord, I don't know why the brothers pick up those two brothers. I don't understand why they didn't pick me up. But Lord, I will take it, Lord Jesus. I'll exercise myself. Lord Jesus. Amen. Lord Jesus. You do that, but actually that rivalry inside of you is increasing. Eventually you just stop, forget about praying. You just can't take it. So here Paul said, let this mind be in you. Okay, let's read verse 5 together.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Okay, this is where we need to be gathered into his name. That we need to be joined to Christ. He said, let this mind be in you. Then, the rest of the verses, if we read quickly, let me read it to you. Here, who existing in the form of God did not consider being equal with God a treasure to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, becoming in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, and that the death of a cross. Okay, up to verse 8, we can see that we may know about these seven steps of submission of Christ, right? He, what did he do? He no, existing in the form of God, did not consider being equal with God a treasure to be grasped, but he first emptied himself. First step, he emptied himself. Then he, second step, he took, taking the form of a slave. Then the third step, he became in the likeness of man. And then being found, and then step four, being found in fashion as a man. Then step five, he humbled himself. Then step six, becoming obedient even unto death. Then step seven, and that the death of a cross. Well, we may, I think, most of the Christians are familiar with these verses, and we see that how the Lord humbled himself, how the Lord is submissive to God. But something is interesting here. Have you paid attention to? Because if I were to write these verses, you know, I wouldn't, verse 5, I wouldn't have written in this way. You know, it would be more logical or kind of reasonable to write that these conducts remind you, or that these virtues be in front of your eyes, and then you can see that what the Lord did, right? Step one, step two, he did something there. So let these virtues be in front of you, and let this be a pattern to you, right? And this is actually most of the Christian thought, including myself in the past. So now we understand that the Lord came to the earth, had it on the earth 33.5 years, and he has set up a pattern for us. Right? The Bible, the four Gospels recorded how he referred himself to man, how he cared for the weak, how he encouraged the frustrated. Everything he did is like a pattern of a high virtue. And now these are all in front of us. Then he passed through death and resurrection, and then he ascended. Now he is in the heavens interceding for us, that we can catch up with him. That we can imitate him. We can imitate him in these conducts, in these virtues. Right? That is a common feeling among the believers. And that makes sense. So we will try our best to find out what the Lord Jesus did on earth. Then we find out, oh, we also should do this. And there was a book called The Imitation of Jesus. Right?
Imitation of Christ.
Of Christ. And it was a famous book. And this author is Thomas Kempis. And he wrote many aspects of God, of Christ's virtues, and he thought there that we can know him and imitate him. But it is not. It is the Bible didn't say it this way. It didn't say that these virtues be in front of your eyes. It says let this mind be in you.
Right.
And when I read this, I didn't understand why mind. These are behaviors. These are virtues. You can see it. Humble himself. You know, go on to the cross. And these are all behaviors. Why mind inside of me? Let this mind be in me. What does this mean? Up to this, you know, praise the Lord, we have this ministry. Let this mind be in you. Actually, it means that we need to let the Lord himself be in us. In the Greek or in the text, there is the word in there. Let this be in you, just as in Jesus Christ. So we can ask that, where is Christ right now? Religionally, we may think Christ is now in the third heavens in his ascension, and he is interceding for us, that we can follow his step, that we can imitate his virtues. And he is praying for us. But no, he said, let this mind be in you. Christ is now not in the heavens looking for us and looking for our failure, and they're interceding for us. He is now inside of us.
Amen.
He is in us. His mind can be in us. His mind means that himself can be in us. Okay, so here this imitation is not an outward imitation. It is that we need to let him be in us. No wonder that in chapter 1, whole set for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. How can Paul magnify Christ? He was in the prison. How can he magnify him? It's not what he did. It is how he lives.
Yes.
And how can he live? He is in the prison. How can he do? How can he? What kind of living can he live? It is Christ who lives in him. And he said, for me to live is Christ. So his living in the prison became a gospel. So when people saw him, they saw Christ. They saw the manifestation of Christ. And even the household of Caesar's, they got saved just because of they saw Christ through Paul.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, now let's come back to the outline. We need to go a little bit quickly. And point A says, we need to take Christ's mind as our mind, opening ourselves to let this mind be in us. This, in verse 5, refers to the consideration in verse 3 and the regarding in verse 4. Okay, look at this. Let this mind be in you. This mind. What mind? It refers to verse 3. He says, considering one another more excellent. And then, not regarding each his own virtue. The regarding here and considering there is what Paul meant here, that this mind be in you. But how can we have this mind? It's impossible for me to consider others better than I am. I'm, of course, better than the others. Right? But the only thing we can do it is let this mind be in us. Okay, let's continue to number 2. Lowliness of mind is in contrast to both selfish ambition and vainglory. This must not be our natural lowliness, but the lowliness of Christ. So, the self-ambition, selfish ambition and vainglory is in us. It's in us. Sometimes we're fighting for just for, you know, like I said, leading the hymn, and if what I think I'm better than others, and eventually others were chosen to serve that item, I was so upset and I was so disappointed. And after one day and two days, they realized, what am I doing? Is that so important? That is what? That is vain glory. Then glory. If you okay, you come to lead a hymn every day, then what would that make you? It's just then glory. Then glory. So it is in us. So we do not have this lowliness of mind inside of us. So lowliness of mind, it is the lowliness of Christ. Number 3, this kind of mind, this kind of thinking was in Christ when he emptied himself and humbled himself. So in those verses we just read, that this might be in you, from starting verse 6, here the Lord only did 2 things, right? What did he do? The verse here is verse 7, but he emptied himself. He emptied himself. And then in verse 8, he said he humbled himself. So he only did these 2 things. He emptied himself. And then he humbled himself. And eventually, God did it. God highly exalted him. That's what God did. But what is from Christ is just empty himself and humble himself.
Amen.
But we always want to exalt ourselves. That's right. But if we do that, actually, we just have the vainglory and rivalry. Okay, let's go on. B, to have this mind requires us to be one with Christ in his inward parts, in his tender inward feeling, and in his thinking. See, for the mind of Christ to be in us means that this mind is something living. Actually, the mind of Christ is Christ himself. For the person of Christ, it is manifested in his mind. The mind is the leading part of the soul. So actually, the mind is ourselves. My mind, you cannot separate my mind from myself. My mind is what I think, and that's what I am, right? So that this might be in you, actually, is that Christ that be in us. Let's go to Romans 2. In order to experience Christ, we need to know Him as the pattern. Point A, in Philippians 2:5-9, Paul presents Christ as the pattern. We need to have this pattern infused into us.
Amen.
Okay, we need to have a lot of the word infused into us.
Amen.
Not just set up a pattern there, and we will try to catch up with Him using our own effort. And that would never work. That would never work. But we need to turn to Him and let Him infuse Himself into us.
Amen.
Let His mind be in us. Okay, point B. The pattern of the Christian life is the God-man Savior who emptied Himself and humbled Himself and who has been exalted and glorified by God. What He did? He emptied Himself. He humbled Himself. And then God did something. God exalted Him and glorified Him. Point one. Although the Lord was equal with God, He did not consider being equal with God a treasure to be grasped and retained. Rather, He emptied Himself, laying aside that what He possessed, the form of God. A, in His incarnation, the Lord did not alter His divine nature. Okay, here we need to pay attention to this truth. He said, emptied Himself, taking the form of a slave, but He did not hear it. Like the outline said, although the Lord was equal with God, He did not consider being equal with God as treasure. He emptied Himself. He emptied Himself, laying aside what He possessed, the form of God. He has the form of God. But He put His form aside and He took the form of a slave. The form of a God is the highest form, and the form of a slave is the lowest form. So here we have the contrast that although He was equal with God, but He did not take the form of God. This doesn't mean that He gave up the essence of God.
Right.
He took off His divinity. No, never. He never abandoned His divinity. But He put aside the form of God. And He put the lowest form, which is the form of a slave. And He became a fashion of a man. Okay, here we need to be clear about this. Then, point B, He changed only the outward expression from the form of God to the form of a slave. Then point two, the Lord became in the likeness of man. The form of God implies the inward reality of Christ's deity. The likeness of man denotes the outward appearance of His humanity. Amen. B, He appeared to man as a man outwardly, but as God, He had the reality of deity inwardly. He is always there. He is always the Son of God. But the Son of God incarnated and He put on human nature and He became the Son of Man. But being the Son of Man, He still has His divinity, His deity inside all the time. Okay, then B, right? He appeared to man as a man outwardly, but as God He had the reality of deity. Okay, C, Christ entered into the condition of humanity and He was found in fashion as a man. Then three, Christ humbled Himself by becoming obedient even unto death, the death of a cross. Humbling Himself was a further step in emptying Himself. Christ's self-humbling manifested His self-emptying. And the death of a cross was a climax of Christ's humiliation. Because that's where the humiliation of death, that's the terrible kind of death.
Yeah.
To the Jewish people, that was a curse of God. Because anyone was hanging on the tree was cursed by God. And He was crucified on a wooden cross. So He was actually hanging on the tree, the wood. And by doing that, actually, He was cursed by God on behalf of us. So that was very low death. And to the Gentiles, the death on the cross is a punishment to the criminals. That was also a shame, but anyway, He was submissive unto death, even the death of the cross. And number four, the Son willingly emptied himself to become a created man as a representation of submission to authority. Okay, this, if we read the submission and the authority and submissive, the book written by Brother Watcher Nee, it was wow. He said there that the Son created submission. And it's even more difficult than the creation. Christ, he willingly took the position of the Son, and he willingly submitted to the Father, and thus he created submission. That means that in this corrupted world, they have no such thing as submission. We can never be submissive. We need to face that, because in us, this is the fallen nature. Remember how Satan rebelled? He rebelled because he didn't want to be submissive. He don't want to submit himself to God. He want to raise himself. And he put this poison into Adam. And we were all born in Adam. So instead of us, there is no submission at all. Don't be cheated by yourself. Sometimes I'm thinking also, I thought I am a submissive person. You know, no problem. I remember that one time when we were sent as the first group to go to Russia to preach the gospel, to join the brothers and sisters there that already went there 2 years prior than us. And to send these Asian people to Russia among the Caucasians to preach the gospel, preach Christ to them, is, you know, not so easy anyways. But we in Taiwan, although we are Asian, we are proud of our practice, you know. And I am proud of myself. I feel that I am trained, and I know the truth now. And we have the church life here, and I can go there and blend with them, no problem. And I remember before we left, one of the brothers, you know, in the training, our trainer told us, he said, when you go there, just forget about yourself. Forget about Taiwan and be blent in. And when I heard that, I thought, oh, no problem with me. No problem with me. I'm so humble. I'm so easy to get along. I am a nice brother, you know. Everybody knows that. So I'm thinking inside of me, no problem. I would not be a problem with that. Then we went there, and we started coordinating with the brothers, with the saints from the States. And not long after that, we have the Russian saints saved and trained, and some of them became co-workers. So now we have a group of coordination among the co-workers, with English-speaking, Chinese-speaking, and Russian-speaking. And I thought I have no problem. Then only when I got there, I realized, wow, I am a Chinese, and I am a Taiwanese, and I have my culture. I mean, I have my church culture in Taiwan, which I didn't even know that. I thought that was just everybody doing this. Everybody doing the same thing. Only one day in the coordination, I was offended by a brother from the States, by the way of his coordination. And I was there bearing, and one day I just couldn't bear anymore. I burst out, and I became a big conflict. Yeah. And after that, I thought, what did I do? I thought I have no problem with them. What? So anyways, I don't want to get into detail. So just this remind me, things we do not know submission.
Yeah.
We thought we know, but we do not know submission. There is no submission in us. It just it doesn't get to you yet. You still have ground to pretend. You have the ground to hide yourself. But one day when it comes out, you realize, wow, that rebellious element is deep in my blood.
Yes.
And we need Jesus. Amen. Submission is created only by the Son.
Amen.
He took the position of the Son, and he became totally submissive to God the Father. and he followed him, followed his will, and he took his way. One day he said, if it is possible, can you remove this cup from me? But then he said, but yet not what I will, but what you will. And he went on to the cross. He died there on the cross. And thus the Father exalted him because he was submissive. And so this is the submission we need. So saying we need Christ. We need to let his mind to be in us. Only there we can find submission. Okay, I think that's enough. Let's go continue. Where are we? Point B? Is it point B? A. But Christ as our pattern is not only objective but also subjective and experiential. The one who set up the pattern and who himself is the pattern is now operating within us as the indwelling Christ. Amen. Christ lives in us. And we have the mindness. Okay, then two. And B, the principle of Christ as the inward pattern for our living is that even if we have the highest standard of the highest position, we should not grasp it. See, we need to live Christ in his human being, especially in his emptying himself and humbling himself, and in his not grasping equality with God as a treasure.
Amen.
One, we have a life in us that is self-emptying and self-humbling. This is the life of Christ.
Amen.
We have his life. Remember the kingdom? He has sown himself as the seed of life, as the divine life into us.
Amen.
So we have this life in us.
Amen.
Okay, two, the life never grasps at anything as a treasure, but it always willing to lay aside position and title. D, we have Christ crucified as our pattern, and this pattern is the crucified life within us. One, the steps of Christ's humiliation in Philippians 2, 5-8 are aspects of the crucified life lived out in a full way. Christ being obedient unto the death of the cross was the crucified life lived out in a full and absolute way. Three, when we live Christ, we live the one who is the pattern of a crucified life. Four, by living a crucified life, we can experience the power of resurrection. Here we have Philippians 3:10. Wow. The Paul said to know him, to know Christ, and the power of his resurrection.
Amen.
And the fellowship of his sufferings. And all these things, to know him, to know the power of his resurrection, and have fellowship in his sufferings. All of this is the process of our being conformed to his death. And we can say from the other, you know, the other way around, when we are being conformed to his death, we are knowing him. And we are knowing the power of his resurrection. And we are genuinely participating in his suffering.
Amen.
If we do not have his death, yeah, we are not conformed to his death. We may be just, we are not conformed. We are not participating in his suffering. I don't know how to say it. Chinese, it says, 自讨苦吃. You ask for yourself. You ask the suffering for yourself. It's nothing to do with Christ. And many times we thought we were suffering for Christ, but actually, no. Because we are not on the cross. We are not in his death. We're kind of, give a testimony. Wow. You know, the Lord gave me a dear wife. So dear. Wow. She is my cross. You know, I'm bearing cross. You know, by saying this, right away we know that, no, you are not on the cross. You are not on the in the death of Christ. You are in your own suffering. You are there, you know, complaining. And, but I do this. Maybe I didn't speak to others, but I'm thinking, you know, by myself. Lord, just thank you for giving me this wife. Now she will say this to me sometimes. But when we turn to the Lord, went into the Lord, if we are, we will abide in His death, then right away He will supply us with the power of resurrection.
Yes.
Just like when the Lord did the emptying, when the Lord did the humbling, then God the Father will do the exalting.
Amen.
So if we just die there, and right away we will know Him and know His power of resurrection. Amen. Okay, now point B, or what? Where were we? Number 5 already. Okay, number 5. The highest life on earth is a crucified life. Whenever we live a crucified life, God will bring us into resurrection. Okay, then number 6. Christ is exalted in our daily life as we, by the bountiful supply of Spirit of Jesus Christ, take Him as the crucified life to be the pattern of our daily life.
Amen.
Amen. So, saints, actually, Paul wrote this to the Philippians, and I mean the saints in Philippi. They really, Paul really loved them, and Paul really rejoiced because of them. Mm-hmm. But there, in his heart, he said, "Make my joy full." Mm. You know, in Paul's eyes, the church is just lovely, right? Of course, he knows the problem and he tried to help them, but in his eyes, church is just beautiful. Beautiful. But still, they need to be helped. And with the saints in the Philippi, those are serving ones. You see that they have deacons, they have the overseers. You can see that the church is in a very good, administration or very good coordination, and they are serving. So it's good news, and they are participating in the furtherance of the gospel. They were taking care of the Apostle Paul. All this will just make Paul rejoice. But here's something that Paul was concerned. That is, they need to think the same thing and think the one thing. And the one thing is that this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So, saints, I think we are all in the church life. And let me see here. Are you serving now? Are you serving in any kind, any items in the church? If you are serving, or you have served, raise your hand, please. Okay. 在教会里面有服侍的，有过服侍过的，举个手。Okay, maybe you don't know what does it mean to serve. Even you serve as an usher, you are serving. You are serving, right? You came to arrange the chairs, you are serving, right? Many things that you can serve in the church. We need to serve, saints. We need to serve. If you don't serve, I'm sorry, you may not understand what Paul is talking about here. This kind of experience of Christ has to do with our being in the body life.
Amen.
If we do not live in the body life, if we do not have we do not serve in the body, if we do not have a desire even to serve, we will not understand what Paul is talking about here.
Yeah.
So I will encourage you, saints, that we can go further. We all can serve. Even you give a ride to a brother to somewhere, even you give a ride to a saint to bring him or her to the church meeting, it is a great service.
Amen.
And when we serve, then we need to serve in one accord, thinking the same thing, thinking the one thing.
Amen.
Then we will make the apostles joyful. Amen. Okay, friends, I'll just stop here. Okay, and then the rest of time we can have some overflowing. I would ask you to, okay, when you speak now in a meeting after the message, you are also serving the body, okay?
Right.
That is a great service.
Right.
That is a great, don't let us occupy the service here. You know, we have done the speaking, but when you speak, saints, when you give the testimonies, you are serving the members of the body. You are serving the body. So don't despise your speaking. Even if that's just one word, say, "Praise the Lord! I love you, Lord!" And you sit down, you just serve the saints.
Yes.
Okay? So please, speak something.
Amen.
And if you didn't raise your hand, you can start your service right now, today. Okay, now's your time.
Amen.
try to restrict your sharing to 1 or 2 minutes so everybody have an equal opportunity.
Amen.
Amen.
Especially those who were in the training. 那些有参加训练的都要起来讲话啊！黄昏组都谈，都已经操练过了。请问何弟兄都要起来讲话啊？
谢谢。
You can speak in Chinese， 讲中文也可以，会有翻译的啊。
no longer a bed. Only eat the milk of spirit.
Oh, do you so?
Oh, Lord Jesus. May the Lord's words live inside of us richly.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. To have this mind in Christ on the field. Amen. Be one with Christ in his inward heart.
Amen.
In his tender inward feeling and his thinking.
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I'm so touched by these words because Amen. I'm so be enlightened, and because always in my business life I always not in his mind.
Mm.
In maybe in the company's or in the company's goal or oh Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Even if I'm working, I need to exercise my spirit.
Amen.
Turn to the Lord.
Amen.
To be one of the same thinking with him.
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus, thank you for this the words of this message.
Amen.
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 Amen. I just enjoyed the point that we are all in the kingdom.
Amen.
Christ has given us the keys to the kingdom.
Amen.
Matthew 18:20 shows that all we have to do is gather into his name.
Amen.
And we are in the kingdom.
Amen.
I also enjoyed the point of our brother starting his sharing about the kingdom.
Amen.
Is that the kingdom life is it from another source. And then this leads into Christ as our pattern. So again, we're not imitating Christ.
Right.
We can't do it. Why? Because our fallen life is not in the right kingdom.
Amen. Amen.
Right?
Yep.
Just like I can't be, you know, a dog can't be a person. Because
right?
A dog is a dog. It's in the wrong kingdom.
Right?
It's not in the kingdom of men. If we are going to follow Christ, we need his life.
Amen.
We need to have his mind, right, be our mind. We need to enter in so we can, his life is living through us. Because we've transferred out of the kingdom, right? We're no longer in Satan's kingdom. Now we've been transferred into the kingdom of God in life.
Amen.
And because of that, Christ's life can grow in us.
Amen.
Right? Then we can what? Have this mind. Right?
Amen.
Then we can have Christ's life grow and expand and be in us. How do we do that?
Amen.
Right? What? We have to be one.
Amen.
Just like the brother said. We can't be one in something. Oh, let's two. Hey, I really like that. Have this thing. We really want this to happen, right?
Yeah.
We're both going to win. We've got our favorite team. We're going to go in them and we're going to win. And we're for this. We're going to do that. Well, Christ's life is not there, right? So we're not in Christ's mind. We're not in his mind and we're not living his life.
Amen.
For God to get the kingdom to come on the earth, we have to what? Enter into Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 The gospel preached by Apostle Paul is Christ crucified.
Amen.
The seventh step of Christ empty and humbling himself is the various aspects of his crucified life. This life is now in us.
Amen.
When we experience him daily,
Amen.
Live him daily,
this
life will operate in us.
Therefore,
we live a life of emptying ourselves, humbling ourselves, and a life of and live a crucified life.
Amen.
Amen. This is to say our self ambition, vain glory, and self exaltation will have no place in us.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I'm here to serve. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
The Son willingly emptied himself to become a created man as a representation of submission to authority.
Amen.
The brother shared, this Christ created submission.
Yes.
There is no submission at all in our being.
Yes.
At all, ever.
Mm-hmm.
When we were coming over from the sister's house to the meeting, we went to a park, and there are a lot of homeless people there. And the sister remarked, you know, they have a place for these homeless people to go, but they just don't want to go there because they have to submit to the authority of the ones who have prepared the place for you. So I just realized, you know, Christ created submission first in himself, first as the one who he could do it, because not only because he's God, but because he saw the Father's will.
Yeah.
He saw everything that the Father wanted because he let himself be submitted.
Right.
Brother, I'm sorry you missed some points in this section. I was hoping you would expand a little bit, but I just enjoy so much that we have a Christ who can submit, and we also.
Yes.
He wants us to be in this life. He wants
Amen.
Us
Amen.
To have this life.
Amen.
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 So tonight's message talking about knowing Christ and experience Christ. May the Lord open our the eyes of the Spirit. Have the understanding. And we can experience Christ as our pattern.
我们要想以基督做我们的榜样,
if we want the Christ to be our pattern,
需要以耶稣基督的心肠在我们里面,
we need to have the Jesus Christ's heart inside of our being.
Amen. 因为今天他的生命已经在我们里面,
because now his life is inside of our being.
所以我们也能够像保罗那样,
so we can be like Apostle Paul.
像保罗那样把基督活出来,
like Paul, lift Christ up.
谁看见主, 今天主在主的会务里一个迫切的需要,
so today in the urgent needs in the Lord's recovery,
就是经历基督做我的榜样,
experience Christ as our pattern.
这里说到最, 地上最高的生活, 乃是钉十字架的生活。
Amen. And here says about the highest living in the world is the cross life.
所以在腓立比三章十第十节那里说到，使我认识基督的复活。
So in Philippians 3:10 says,
认识基督跟他复活的大能，以及同他受苦的交通。
May I knowledge the
Christ and the power of
his resurrection.
Amen. And form his image.
Mm. 所以今天我们需要更多的享受这位基督。
Amen. So today only we enjoy the Lord.
才能将我们里面这位基督的榜样活出来。
Amen. We may live out this pattern of Christ.
Amen. 感谢赞美主，我刚才主题都没讲，现在再给我两分钟，一分钟的。
好，一分钟，两下楼。
好，耶稣，感谢赞美主，今天主题说到经历基督。
Experience Christ.
Amen.
并认识基督，认识基督，经历基督为榜样。
Knowing Christ and experience
为榜样。哦，今天总共这里有讲到三个大点。
There are three big points.
Amen.
第一大点说到，我们若要认识基督为榜样。
If we would know Christ as a pattern.
哦，比如说，就应当里面思念基督。基督耶稣里面所思念的。
Amen.
We should let the mind which was in Christ Jesus be in us.
Amen.
第二大点说到，我们要经历基督。
In order to experience Christ.
Amen.
就需要认识他是榜样。
We need to know him as a pattern.
Amen.
第三大点是说到，今天主的恢复你。
There is an urgent need among us in the Lord's recovery today.
我们中间有个迫切的需要。
We have an urgent need.
就是经历基督做我们的榜样。
To experience Christ as our pattern.
Amen.
主耶稣，感谢赞美主。
Blessing, praise Lord.
Amen.
主开启我们属灵的眼睛。
Lord, open the eyes of the spirit.
使我们有属天的智慧
，so we may have the wisdom of the heavenly，
能够明白主奥秘的话语
，to know the Lord's secretive words，
主奥秘的话语向我们敞开
，the mysterious words open to us。
Amen。
哦，主耶稣
，Lord Jesus。
星期四的晚上，弟兄们说到，我们两三个人在一起祷告。主耶稣就在我们中间。
The brother shared that when two or three in the one heart pray in the Lord's name.
Amen.
主耶稣是怜悯恩待的主。
The Lord is full merciful and.
他说我们如果一个弟兄患了主，赦免他多少次
？If the brother sin against someone.
是七次吗？
Is that seven times?
还是七十个七次
Or 70 times seven.
七十个七次的意思就是主是永远的赦免
70 times seven means the Lord is forgive us forever.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, Lord, Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.Amen, thanks. Wow, time flies so fast. I'm sure some saints still have the burden to share, but sorry, we need to stop here. And you still have a chance tomorrow.
Yes, amen.